Hello and welcome to the Multimedia Men podcast number 25.
Yes, sir.
Cinco.
25 weeks. It's too long with you guys.
Technically, it's like 26.
I'm announcing my retirement.
We took a week off.
I'm announcing my retirement.
Did we take off?
We had like a week.
Did we take off for porn?
For porn, yes.
For porn.
We did for porn.
Yeah, for porn. I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Adam Conway.
Heyo.
Gwen Reyes.
Hey.
Andrew Conway.
Yep.
And Gabrielle Kahn.
I'm sickly.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your pictures of Jennifer Tilly.
You like Prince Francis from Rain. Sickly and dying.
Sickly and dying. So we're going to do a discussion right now. It's going to be fun. We're going to talk about Hollywood and their remakes and reboots. Now, I would say that maybe the last 10 years, 15 years, Hollywood really got into this reboot, remake phase. And at first, it was kind of cool because they were remaking stuff from the 20s or 30s. It was cool to see it again on the screen in a modern day. But now, it seems like every movie or every TV show is getting remade, rebooted. And it's just, why are they doing this? Do they think there's an already built-in audience is just more money. And like even with Michael Bay's, he's directed the last three Transformers movies. He's rebooting his own movie 3 years later. And the same can go with The Amazing Spider-Man. It's a reboot. Why? And with Batman, with the Superman Batman movie, do you have Nolan's Batman movies and now they're rebooting Batman again? What do you think?
Lazy.
Do you think it's just lazy? Hollywood being lazy?
Lazy money in it. I do
it's
think
not lazy. Not lazy at all. It's all about money. It's all.
Do you think
bottom line?
Do you think
it's a lazy way to get money? Though you can come up with something really intelligent and be the next. Like, we created this instead of I'm going to just take something that was created in 1920 and re-fucking do it.
Well, it's because they think there's a built-in fan base, so they already have people.
Definitely, but that argument's also been proven that there's an angry fan base too. Like, they never ever talk about that fans aren't happy that shit gets remade poorly usually. Like the RoboCop backlash. Film happened to be better than all the shit that we thought it would be.
Absolutely.
But you were
right.
It will not look...
Thank you.
Yeah, but it will still not look down from that thrashing that we gave it because we don't want it.
Well,
that's the argument.
Well, is it a more of a fact that Hollywood might be run by a lot of old studio execs or even
mid-level. But it was run by old studio execs when they were creating good shit too.
But
even older and
nowadays they don't want to lose money on something that's original and new.
Yeah.
They just want to go with something they know. Do you think that's the possibility?
Well, and I also feel like a lot of it has to do with they're producing so many more movies too. Like there's more movies coming out each week, so they have to get ahead of all of that. There's a guarantee that they're going to make money. Even though it's funny that they think that because sometimes they're spending $300 million producing a film that's not going to make their money.
It's making $200 million.
Exactly. It's not, and that's not even including the amount of money that they have to spend, half of that paying for their marketing.
Yeah.
But what I find really interesting is I don't mind a reboot that's done if it is done well and differently. But what I think was a great example is we've seen with the Batman movies, we were so excited about them, The Dark Knight. Burns. Now all the superhero movies that they're rebooting have to be dark like that. All like with Total Recall and with Judge Dredd, those were two really campy, ridiculous, over-the-top films and had a little bit of darkness to them, but they were dark and campy. Now you have the dark version.
But that's a good point because everything now is dark. Thor, The Dark World. Everything that's coming out usually is...
Really campiness.
Yeah.
It goes back to what Gotti's saying of why I find it to be lazy. It's not because the writing's lazy or because the idea...
And they're talented people. I'm not talking about them being
bad. To me, it's like you're lazy in your creativity. Like, what would be cool is if, yes, you have this construct, you have this character base that you already have to work with. Now, do something different with it. Do something creative. Work within your boundaries. And I don't feel like a lot of the films really do that.
And let's talk about another angle. There's a lot of film festivals around this world that go on every year that throw out some amazing films that no one ever fucking sees.
Agreed.
And there's a reason why. There are only two major studios that go into film festivals and buy shit. And they're both owned by the Weinsteins.
Yes.
They're the only ballsy bastards to go out there and pick films that no one's ever heard of.
Foxlight.
There's several other ones.
They've tried.
Sony Pictures Classics. There's a lot of studios out there.
How many movies do they get a year? 10 Sony Pictures. When they make how many movies with the regular?
Now you have A24 also, which is a big
one. Which has only been around for 6 months, though. I mean, people are getting the idea. People are starting.
Yeah,
Warner Brothers had a whole thing, and then they destroyed it
and
fired everyone.
I mean,
Weinstein's the only one that's been doing it for 30 years.
Picture House, yeah.
Well, and they happen to like those quality films. And you know what? They can make money off of them, just not maybe the astronomical money
that
you can make off of a Batman.
But see, that's the point. It's kind of like you take movies that we saw at DIFF last year or at Sundance, the smaller ones, and they're probably made for less than $25 million each. Those movies, if they were given a wide release in 3,000 theaters, they
could make 100.
Exactly. Whereas the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie is going to cost $200 million, and it might make $300 million.
Oh, no,
which
it's
going
to make a billion.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like...
You say that, but it might not.
But it might... It's crazy. And, like, I've seen foreign films such as the Korean War film My Way, which was amazing.
Amazing.
It looked amazing, and that cost $25 million U.S. dollars. And that looked just as good as a Transformers movie did.
And granted, he did, like, hire everyone in the country to make it, but... It does show you that they're not looking under every nook and cranny. That's why it's considered lazy, because you're just looking at crap that's already made money.
I don't think it's lazy, though. There's a sense of laziness, but it's Hollywood's a completely different monster now. Unfortunately, Hollywood's all about people. They have people telling them how much money they need to make, and they have people running numbers on stuff, so they don't make... They don't take risks like they used to.
But they're still run by the same guys that took risks 10 years ago. When was the switch into the full business mode?
It's been this way.
It's been this way.
No, it's been this way since the 70s.
Since the blockbuster.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
The blockbuster period of time.
Spielberg.
So are you saying that this is a different business now? No, we have vertical integration. Now it's just synergy. It's the exact same thing.
Oh, exactly.
It's calculated risk.
The big guy, they don't want to take risks anymore. That's the thing. So they go back, they keep falling back to the... which can be seen as lazy. They fall back to stuff that they think.
But to
make
get
money.
To Brian's point, if you buy a movie that was only made for $25 million,
right,
and then you make 80 off of it, how is that not good business compared to making a movie for $200 and only making $300?
And I think what's interesting is you go back to an issue of that, and then you see those getting remade. I think a good modern example of that is Star Wars. You know, Star Wars wasn't made for very much money. He made all those movies, they got better, and then they rebooted them. And it was fine, and fans were excited, and they were shit. And now we're rebooting them again, and we're doing all these other iterations because we're trying to capitalize on the success of a movie that was made 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And
I don't, we're not trying to make the argument that you shouldn't make remakes or reboots.
No.
Sometimes they're good remakes and good ideas come from past
movies. I like the box. I love the idea of creativity coming with constraints. Like, how do you work with what you have and make something really cool and something different and really exciting out of that?
So
there's a lot of good opportunity there.
And there's that, but there's also been several movies, one of them being Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, the one with Vince Vaughn. People hated that movie, but wasn't that a shot-for-shot remake of the original? And how can
and
you hate it?
And it's interesting because that was
if it was
very...
the same movie. And why would you do that? Why
because
would
you
make
it
shot-for-shot?
You've already been given... You've already know what the moment is. So it doesn't have the moment appeal. Like, the reason why that, I think, failed was because they didn't add something different.
Yeah.
Because we know when she gets stabbed. We know that moment. We know what's going to happen with the mother and what that story
but
is.
Would you, if you were a student of sec, would you okay that? Like, I want to remake this movie, but I want to do it the same way they did it. Like, why would somebody green light that?
No.
It's not better than the original. You can't, if you're not going to make it better, that's the problem I see that they're having is... You know, why make it if it's not better? But it's different. That's the thing that they're
and
like.
And that example, that was a very bold move for them, but it was a
and it didn't pay
move.
Off.
It didn't
pay
off.
Off.
And
it's
one of those things I think that a studio now would be like, no.
Well, no one's done it since.
Do it.
Like, that tells you that it didn't work. Like, no one's done it since. No one's tried to remake another movie shot by shot.
Indeed.
No, that's not true. Because we had the Elizabeth Olsen Silent House.
Oh, yeah.
That was like an almost shot for shot remake. And that was a... But that was a... a foreign film that they then did in English, but the exact same film.
Yeah. In the U.S. version, Gore Verbinski's The Ring had tons of similar shots.
But it wasn't a shot-for-shot remake.
It wasn't shot-for-shot, but there was a lot of this, a lot of them were.
And I think that's an interesting argument, is, like, now we're getting this really interesting influx of all of these foreign films that, instead of releasing the foreign film in America...
That's what Tarantino did, and he was good at it.
We are getting American versions before they even... And I think what was interesting was Starbuck and Delivery Man came out 6 months apart.
That's another question. Why? What's the time frame of rebooting or releasing something?
Grace Point and Broadchurch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the same show.
We're getting lots of TV shows. No,
but that's technology, y'all. That's only because you can get to it quicker.
Yeah,
you can get to that material, like this Chinese noir drama. Technically, we could find it in 6 months if we wanted to online. If they just get it distributed anywhere in the world, we may not be able to see it on the quality they want. But I could easily see someone wanting to remake it because it might have nuances in it that are strictly for the Chinese
people. I think a great example of that is Let the Right One In and Let Me In. I think both films are beautiful quality films.
But they're very different.
But they're so different. And what's great about the American version is that we're kind of dumb in America and you need to kind of hit us over the head a little bit. So like bringing in more of the child sex thing is very interesting that they would bring that in. Whereas in the Swedish version, it's just hinted at bringing in a little bit more of the horror elements, whereas the other one's more beautiful. And I like when they can do that. What I don't necessarily like is when it's like, well, we're not even going to bother bringing in the original and just do it in American.
Like Starbuck, because Starbuck, was that Sony Picture Classics?
Yeah,
Starbuck was awesome.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
And it was much better than Delivery, even though Delivery Man or whatever. But not that that movie was bad. I didn't think Vince Vaughn's performance was bad, but Starbuck was so much better. So much better.
But it's really interesting to see how many TV shows now, like even the Sherlock, that's been done, or even the one we talked about earlier, Utopia, or Shameless. Shows have been done before.
Anything that's successful overseas, they try to... And converted to U.S. Like it's like Inbetweeners. They try to make that.
Do you think that's because of The Office? The Office did so well.
I think it's also money.
Yeah.
I think it's a money thing. Like there's more control. If a studio can license that out, but if that show goes into syndication, they get none of those dollars. So if they can get something that is successful here and then be able to license it out themselves, they're seeing the success of, you know, like we'll use Red Widow. That was a very successful Danish show. And they brought and did an American. So rather than bringing that to the television to here, they did a remake of it and for ABC, and it was a bomb. But they thought they might have a chance with something their own that they could then make money off of.
But it works both ways though too, because like Breaking Bad, they did started like a Brazilian version of it,
Argentinian,
which is
or Colombian,
which is really successful. So you know, it's a two way street. But yeah, we seem to be getting a lot more products.
So do you think we're going into the future? In just only going to be seeing remakes and reboots other than the indie film festivals that will get our...
I don't see how the indie film festivals go away. South by is the biggest festival.
No, I'm not saying like they'll go away. I'm saying like will we see just more and more remakes and reboots in theaters?
I think we're going to see a lot less risk speaking, which is really funny because then you get something... like when you take a risk and you get something like Bridesmaids... Or I hate to say 21 Jump Street because it is a reboot of another thing, but that's
done well.
It's done very, very well. And it was a surprise. And I think,
but that's a chance they took doing a completely different story.
And it was different feel. It was like vulgar comedy rather than kind of like,
well, like Magic Mike. That's what probably would never get actually made unless it had like Soderbergh attached, who pretty much
took
the risk. Exactly.
But there's always those surprises too. Like when people forget about that. Like there's always
those indie hits that all of a sudden come out of nowhere.
But that's what, like the beginning of the year, they released a movie about Hercules, and it was just utter terrible shit. I was like, why couldn't they given like the movie Spectacular Now or All Is Lost a wide release? Other than that movie, because why would people? I mean, even with test audiences, they all had to say it was terrible. You know,
and everyone who's seen Spectacular Now loves it.
No one's giving that the argument.
I think that goes back to what Adam was saying, is that there's so much money to be made overseas, and something like Hercules, which doesn't have a lot of talking and that looks really pretty, is going to do really well on the foreign market. And the interesting thing about the American film system is it's our one most successful export.
Mm-hmm.
We make our money to hold this country together off of our
It's all about overseas money.
And so we're making all of our money back off our
export. Alvin and the Chipmunks,
that's
the Squeakquel made like $300 million.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why China now is like
the
biggest growing box office of anywhere else in the world. So
Let's not take away from the fact, I mean, you work at a theater, but it's an art house theater compared to Cinemark and AMC. Mm-hmm. Where are Cinemark and AMCs? All over the goddamn world.
However, you've been seeing Landmarks showing stuff like Spider-Man or RoboCop.
Because they have to make money.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. Money's the bottom line usually. But the thing, that's one reason why, like he was saying, China is so important because the foreign markets are going to be where we're headed. Like, unfortunately, movies aren't going to be made for the American audience as much anymore because the money is now in China. That's what you're going to see a move to movies that are more targeted towards the Chinese market, unfortunately. And we're sort of just going to be along for the ride.
That's why we're getting such great quality television. Because all those writers that would have been off over writing movies are writing amazing television shows.
Because, exactly.
And that's, I'm not complaining because at least I get 18 hours with a character that I love versus 2 hours
a good quality
with somebody.
Versus Smurfs 2.
Yeah. And then you're still getting your shitty... I mean, I know this is a controversial topic for our table, but it's like you still get your shitty films of a director you really respect with, like, example of being American Hustle, which I think if it had more than a year to be made, probably could have been a much better film if it had been fleshed out a little bit better. But it's like we got to turn these things around because the industry is so much...
You end up like in Monuments Men, which is a decent film that got one bad review and got bumped. And now everyone gives it the same exact review because that's what they think it is.
Uh-huh.
No, whether you like it or not doesn't matter. It's the image.
But there's how the execs are stepping in too much, and that's a problem for creativity. It's like, we've got to get this out for this reason because our sponsor is coming out with a product this week. So you can't have 2 months.
Well, I feel that way about Hercules. Like, you know, Hercules, I'm not saying it was a great film, but that movie was announced last April.
Yeah.
And they turned around an action film that's heavy CGI in 8 months.
Well, it's basically just compete with the other Hercules movie, which is coming out.
Which is ridiculous. Why are we getting 2 Jungle Book movies in this?
We've always had that double competition. We've always had those
Dante's Peak and
Alice
in Wonderland,
Deep Impact.
Ideal-wise, there's stuff that is hot, like
Armageddon, Deep Impact,
Pirates. All we're seeing now are damn pirate premieres and pirate shit. Because that seems
everywhere.
To be in zombies everywhere and vampires everywhere. In 10 years, it'll be fucking Frankenstein all over again.
A few years ago, we had like
I don't know, I Frankenstein
for the end of the world, Another Earth, and those films about
horrible,
the end of Melancholia. I mean, those are all films that it's everyone has the same idea at the same time. And they just put it
it'll be interesting to see what major studio does something different because that'll be the studio that makes a statement. Let's say Spielberg goes finally to DreamWorks, the rest of the three-headed monster. And says, let's go completely different than what we're doing. Because, I mean, he's been one of those ballsy guys that went back to TV. I mean, he'd had TV connection before, but he went headlong into Falling Skies. And look at that damn machine. It's huge money for him.
Yeah.
And he loves it. He did it with ER, and it changed the way he directed. It could be same for some of these guys. A Fincher coming into TV.
I'm excited about that.
It might change the way he does films now.
So do you think what would help a director or an actor or whatever to get into the business is by them doing a remake first? Like, let's say they did an awesome remake of something, and then they have time to do that.
You know what, Brian?
That.
I think that's actually a very interesting point. I think that worked for Christopher Nolan.
Yeah?
You know, I think that cemented him as a filmmaker, was doing that successful reboot. Zack Snyder's really desperately trying to do that with these Superman movies. He's trying to prove it.
The argument with Nolan is tough because prior to that, no one had done that much money with that type of switch on a character that's beloved.
But
the dark
switch,
and it made this whole dark.
But he had a foundation, though. He had
a dark foundation with all his movies.
He had Memento, and he had
Insomnia, which is
remake. But the thing is, those are films
with
that
the big
we
guy
at this
too,
table. But the average filmgoer did not know who Christopher Nolan was.
And the problem is,
and so
he certainly
that,
wasn't making money.
No. With the success of Christopher Nolan, that's an issue too, because now studios are like, oh, we can take a hot director, plug him into a franchise, and almost guarantee success, and it's not always.
But that sort of gets to what Brian's asking. Should they start with the reboot, or should
no,
they not?
I mean,
no.
I think.
Because I would like to see some of these young directors, like a Spectacular Now, we met that guy.
Zack Snyder, he definitely should not have.
Well, they
started
are
with a bigger budget
but
movie,
okay, Sam Raimi,
300.
Guys, yeah. Sam Raimi doing, right. You know, doing art house horror and then doing Spider-Man.
Mark Webb now, even taking over for him. Like,
that, I mean, the thing is that Mark Webb...
But we don't have a Roger Corman anymore. We don't have these guys that train those guys.
Because you have to think these are different than, like, you know, Spielberg's not going to go and do, like, a reboot of something.
No.
It's in, you know, what would be interesting is somebody like Cary Fukunaga coming in and getting his hands on...
It, which is good.
Yeah, and then launching into a new series. Like, mm-hmm. That's
and then
I mean.
Blowing
like
him up.
That's here and it's blowing true. Him up and making him
but so, yeah, some directors are successful. They didn't like, David Cronenberg did, like, The Fly. He remade The Fly. That was one of his breakout successes. So there are directors out there that use that.
Zack Snyder did it with Dawn of the Dead, that reboot.
Yeah.
You know, is it a bad thing is what Brian's asking?
Yeah, no. I think it's a really... I think
it's,
that's
it's
a very
hit or miss, so that's
because
the problem. Yeah.
It helps make a career.
Because even musicians do that. Like, I remember... Didn't Limp Bizkit on their first album remake the...
Let's not...
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say, keep your faith.
No, but you're right. Like, the ability
that
to...
That got play, and then it's like, oh, what else music do they have?
Same with, not Blue... The one that did Blue Monday. Orgy? No, not Orgy. The electronic band.
Interpol?
Good, I can't
I know what you're talking about.
But what I'm curious about, what you guys think about this, is what films are like, holy grail, should never get rebooted?
From what they've been doing, it's just really difficult. I think Rocky Horror Picture Show can't, because a lot of that movie is about how bad it is or how... terrible it's filmed and the actors in it. I feel like they'd try to make it even better now and it wouldn't be the same.
What about Jaws?
I could see another Jaws. You could see a reboot Jaws. Can you reboot Schindler's List? Like, no.
There's certain movies that that will never be the same because of who was in it and
The whole story. And the problem is too, like
Casablanca.
Or the Goonies. But you can definitely remake Casablanca. I want to see a remake of The Third Man with Orson Welles. I want to see one of...
There
Disney
are attempts at those without being reboots. Super 8 is close to Goonies as we've ever had.
Yeah, and it was
great. And it wasn't meant to be that. That was just his way of paying homage to his
producer,
Buddy
Spielberg.
It was a
group of friends that are young who, like, they're the only ones to kind of, like, save the world or save whatever.
I would rather have that done, though, than... Let's remake another damn movie. I'd rather have a director come up with an idea based on what he remembers from what he loved about a film rather than just remaking the film.
Well, what are some of your favorite remakes then? Or movies that you like better than
I don't have a lot of favorite 21 remakes.
21 Jump Street's pretty good.
I like Thomas Crown Affair a lot, the Pierce Brosnan one. I also like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which is a remake.
Yes, that is.
The original... funny.
What about John Carpenter's The Thing was a remake.
The 1988 one is the original.
That was the original. A brilliant remake.
John Carpenter.
That was remade from a French one.
Yeah. John Carpenter's The Thing. Well, that's
that
a remake from
movie.
Like a 30s movie.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like the same thing. That was good.
Well, then it gets into the argument, how much time do you need for it?
That's another thing. Batman Dark Knight Rises, like, what, 2 or 3 years ago? Now they're rebooting Batman from the beginning.
Unnecessary.
And then with Spider-Man 3 to Amazing Spider-Man, only a few years passed.
But I'm cool with that. For some reason, it's weird because I'm really cool with the Spider-Man. Because
you got burned out with...
Because I got... Yeah. And I like what they did where they decided to keep it high school. I like that.
The third one was such a bad movie.
It was... But the Batman, I'm kind of
this
like...
This Spider-Man's about to be a
time.
Bad Batman.
Like, that, to me, I felt like...
We
that
do,
was
but that's
problem.
Why he's only,
but,
that's why he's only getting like a small part of the Superman movie. He's not a full-on Batman movie.
Yeah.
So. The problem is society's becoming less. They lose interest way too fast. You need to keep pumping out more stuff for them to assimilate, and you need to keep it out so they can forget about.
I don't buy that argument when you have movies.
When you have fandom, no.
No, because I think there are movies and TV shows that are way more intelligent now. Like, a True Detective is hitting huge, and it is the most cerebral fucking thing I've ever witnessed. It's based on a book people don't even know. It's ridiculous how intelligent that fucking show is. And that has to do with some bold writers and some bold people. That's who we need to shine
in the movie world. People have a shorter attention span. That's the problem. TV, it's drawn out more, and you have more content to actually soak up those characters.
Millions went to see Wolf of Wall Street for 3 hours.
But I'm going
to
argue that.
Over the years, movies have been getting longer and longer.
Yeah. Movies are getting longer. Maybe. And the other thing, problem with TV shows too, is I feel like TV shows also create this short attention span. Because look at this weekend. If you were a House of Cards fan, you canceled all your plans because you were going to watch for 13 hours straight House of Cards. By Monday, show is completely irrelevant because you've enjoyed it. You've moved on with your life. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's the next thing I'm going to marathon? You don't think about watching television as a weekly thing anymore. A lot of people don't. A lot of people like, I'll wait till
next. Is there something wrong with liking the binge view though?
Not. However,
But it changes how you look at how
it's,
you watch.
Mm-hmm. It's true because let's say when Netflix released Risk Development season 4. I think everybody would have given it better reviews if it was released weekly and not just binge watching. Because
at that point, it's like you're watching it like it's a long film.
Yeah.
But then you forget about it. Like, I do the same thing. I finish Once Upon a Time. I'm like, what am I going to watch now? Those characters I'm done with. What am I going to do next?
But that mentality is the same thing. It's like, if it's great, you want more. Mm-hmm. And you can't wait for it to get out sooner. If it's bad, you want something where the studios are like, we need to replace it with something else to get the bad taste out of their mouth. And so that's why the turnaround's becoming faster and faster. That's why, the whole programming thing for television is almost completely gone away because they're doing programming year long now. Like, Fox just announced a huge thing. They're not going to have like a true pilot season anymore. And it's summer's becoming a huge thing. There's good shows coming out in the summers. And so everything's changing. It's hard to keep up. That's the thing.
People want content all the time.
It's content. They all want content.
It's the same in film, and it's the same in books. Everybody just wants to absorb.
I'd rather have this, though, than not having content.
Oh, true. No. But that's the thing, is that we want so much of it. Yeah. And we can't.
And that's why
I think reboots
to remake
are
and reboot stuff.
That's why. And so they're getting sloppy because they just want to get that content out there. We'll worry about it later. Okay, it's a shitty movie. Okay, who cares? We'll make our money back and we'll worry about the next thing.
I'd like to see a remake of Wizard of Oz.
Well, good thing.
There's
12 of them coming.
Yeah, I want to see a Gauntlet the Wind remake.
Yeah.
I mean, the original is so
epic movie. Wow,
beautiful, but I'd love to see it.
But, like, that's what the remakes
Lawrence
from
Arabia, there's a lot of epic movies that,
like, the 30s, the 40s, remake those, but people are remaking stuff from 10 years ago. It's like, why?
I'm much happier with the ones that are like, instead of it being made into a movie, are now going to shows. Like, doing Silence of the Lambs as a TV show is really kind of fun.
Well, there are great remakes, and where they changed the idea up too. Like, Seven Samurai became a Magnificent Seven Western. So it's cool.
Well, another good example of that is
The Departed.
Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
You see that same story structure in Velvet Goldmine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's doing
yeah.
Citizen Kane, but with the glam rock season.
And so, 70s. Yeah, those kind of things. Take the idea that everyone likes and just tweak it a little bit and just bring something new to it. That's what,
But we're not seeing a remake of Emma.
But we're not seeing enough of those. Those are only one off.
Yeah.
We're seeing more of RoboCop, even though it is different and new. I hate to bring that one up.
But that's also a director who wasn't really proven. He's had two, smaller.
And
cop movies from.
That's true.
For what that was, I really enjoyed it. The problem, that's another issue. Hollywood's thinking more about the bottom line and money. And so you're losing, the grittiness.
That was what I was going to bring
great
up.
Great aspect of stuff because they're dumbing it down to PG-13 because they want a broader audience.
The director of RoboCop will get another job. The director of Total Recall will not. Thank you.
Yeah, he is. Len Wiseman, he's cemented himself.
Not like because
Kevin
of Total
Smith
Recall.
Says,
because of Underworld and all the other stuff he's done.
Kevin Smith says, you fail upwards in Hollywood, and that Wiseman is definitely like that.
I Frankenstein, that director should not get another movie ever. That was one of the biggest.
Wasn't it Len Wiseman?
No.
He's doing everything. He's
directing episodes.
He's got
Hollow.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's very nice, guys. I like Len. He's very
nice. We're not hating on the people.
Seems like,
We all liked Underworld. We're not hating on
him. That's why Kate Beckinsale left Michael Sheen for him.
But I'm hating on Frankenstein. Whoever created that movie, I want to punch in the face. Just saying.
Well, that is our remake discussion.
We learned nothing.
What do you think?
Bottom line it, Gotti.
Oh.
We want the blood and gore. Oh.